Welcome to Red Hill Church Podcast. You're listening to Vaughan speaking on Palm Sunday.
So when we were praying, when we were contemplating today and Palm Sunday, we like chasing waterfalls, our family, after the big rains. So we were out at Gibraltar Falls a couple of weeks ago, and we did base camp, which is not, it sounds big, but it's only a kilometre. So, but with a five-year-old, it's interesting. When we're coming, driving up the mountains, the timber, the trees look so blackened still, so barren. And then we drove to the base of the waterfall, and then we were hiking up, and I just noticed this little plant, and it really grabbed me. And I had this sense there are people who life has, you feel like you've been snapped. Someone snapped you, or something's happened with a broken dream. Something has snapped you. Something has damaged you. So, and God, I sense today, saying, I notice you, my child. When the Israelites were oppressed by the Egyptians, Moses, who couldn't speak properly, came and spoke to them. And then they said, when they realized that God noticed them and he cared about them, they bowed down and worshipped. And it's really hard to bow down and worship when you feel like you have been snapped, when you have pain in your heart, and you feel like God has not come through for you. And this is interesting. When we look at Palm Sunday, there's all this whipped up excitement. Lazarus had just been raised from the dead. The rumors were going through the country about this exciting thing that hadn't happened for I don't know how long, hundreds and hundreds of years, that this person had been raised from the dead, that this could possibly be the Messiah. And there was such excitement that everyone wanted to meet Jesus. And it's interesting that people were even throwing down their shawls, their prayer cloths, their beautiful garments, and are throwing down, palm leaves. When we looked into what palm leaves, they're respected by the Israelites because their ability to grow in harshest conditions. They can sustain incredible lack of water in the desert. And Deborah sat under one of those palm trees when God spoke to her about how to deal with the enemies who were coming against the Israelites. So that is one of the reasons why they were throwing down palms, because they believed God was about to move and God was about to set Israel free from the Roman Empire. All right? You don't want to do that picture? No. Okay. All right. And it's interesting, when we're coming into Easter and we assess the year that we've had, or last year, we've had perceived ideas how God would come through for us as individuals, as families, as larger thing, how God would act, how God would set us free from certain things that come against us. So it's really interesting that for me, it's all about our hearts and examining our hearts coming up to Easter. Is there, like David said, is there any offensive way in me, God? Is there a hurt where you haven't come through the way I wanted you to? Is there something in my heart that is a blockage? And it's interesting, with a group during the week, someone questioned about why Lucifer, why he was bad? And is that right? Yeah, and so in Ezekiel, then when jumping into Ezekiel, we found out that Lucifer, the reason why God threw him from heaven is he became obsessed with himself. He was given the most incredible jewels of heaven that we haven't even seen, and he adorned him with it, and then he looked at himself and became obsessed with himself. And how, in our society, what is the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't this interesting, this balance between the three? How, in our society, I feel like we're almost becoming love myself, love myself, love myself, and then there's, you know, we're getting into dangerous territories. And just how, if we love God, he wants us to love our neighbor. That means my wife, my children, my literal neighbor, whoever I come into contact with as myself. And so that's something that I'm examining in my heart, like, God, how much am I being a team player? This is something for me to consider, you know, when things are going tough. When you have sleepless, as a dad or a mum, you have sleepless nights. And you can start thinking about yourself. I'm not getting my needs met by my spouse. Or I'm not having my time. And then, but maybe God could be saying to us today, well, let's think about that other person in your family. So anyway, so these are some of the things I was, so my wife is going to come as well. But it's interesting, Candace said about Hebrews 12, that was on our list, and about the donkey, because we were fascinated that Jesus chose to use a colt, like a new, you know, little tiny, not baby donkey, but like very young. So it wouldn't have had a lot of strength. So it wouldn't have been able to carry a big, muscly, heavy warrior. And it's interesting that he chose that animal to symbolize his humbleness and gentleness, and how we, in our society, we value, with, whether it's computer games or movies, you know, who's got the biggest, for guys, who's got the biggest gun or sword, and going in and, you know, blowing everything up and rescuing and coming out. And how our mindsets can be, you know, God, you're going to come through in this way, aren't you? You're going to do things how I want to, won't you? And then we can almost have a tantrum at times when God doesn't come through the way we do. Like our daughter this morning, she didn't want to go on a bike ride. She decided that I'm not going to go on a bike ride. And boy, she's got good lungs. And, you know, we even buy an ice cream. People who don't have kids, it's all you know. I'm an ice cream. That's got sugar in it. Oh, this has got this. No, I will not do that. Well, you need to watch Michael McIntyre's thing on how to get out the difference between families getting out the front door and people without children get out the front door. So it's very interesting. Just when things don't go our way as humans, how do we respond? Like, can you imagine Jesus, everyone cheering him on, everyone saying, now is the time, let's do this. And then Jesus going, well, sorry, I'm going to put a little, it's going to be a bit of a bummer, you know. Can you imagine the Canberra Raiders, you know, the Raiders, we're going to get this premiership, we're going to annihilate them. And I remember when they first did that, I don't know if people can remember that. It was so bad that we tried to mix lime with milk and came up with Canberra Lime, right? It was just like, the city was a buzz. It was so crazy that we even tried to make Raiders Lime milk. And it's amazing how we can, in the excitement and work it all out for God, how things are going to happen. But remember soon after Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, it can't multiply. And he needed to die on the cross for us. You know? And so, mindsets. And if we can turn to Romans 3. So this is one translation I've got up on the board. So I have the I had the New King James version up as well before. So we can see here, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us. It helps us to trust God more each time. We use it until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. So in New King James Version, it says that faith produces a hope and hope, so perseverance, and then perseverance, hope, and hope does not disappoint us. And I felt those words ring out today for us, that hope does not disappoint us. So we might get disappointed with different things and each other, but he does not disappoint his children. Life might at times feel like that, look like that, but it's not the truth. And I'm really excited that God wants to break through that lie that some of us carry. Yeah, he is incredible. Then when that happens, when we are strong and steady, I've got it on YouTube, we are able to hold our heads high no matter what happens. I know that all is well, for we know how dearly God loves us. And we feel this warm love everywhere within us because God has given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. When we were utterly helpless with no way of escape, Christ came at the right time and died for us. And then it goes on and then it says, now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends of God. So what I think the key here is, when God's wanting to restore hope in us, like that picture we had up before, there is new growth. What's your focus? What's my focus? What do you think the enemy wants you to focus on? Do you think the enemy wants you to just focus on negative media? Or do you think he wants to, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think of such things? I believe God, that's his heart for you and me, is to bring new growth and new hope where you feel like you've been snapped, where you feel like your palm tree, you've given God your best, you've given a big palm out of your heart and you worship him, and I've given you everything, God. You remember the disciples? They said, no, there's no fish. I've given you everything. And Jesus says, one more time. and then he does it, and then there's all the fish. And it's like sometimes we have to come to the end of ourselves before God, before we let God in. Let's put an example. We're on holidays and my two eldest children, I call them out because I want to have fun with them, bodyboarding, and teaching them how to bodyboard. But only one would come out to me. The other one was too scared of the waves. I wasn't out very far, so it's not like I was being one of those over-the-top ambitious dads who have literally no fear. Or they're so confident in that. So I know I'm not a great swimmer. So anyway, one would come to me and they really enjoyed that waving. And how my heart hurt that I couldn't share with that other child the excitement of catching a wave. And I just thought, wow, that's just a little glimpse of how God, Heavenly Father, feels when we don't trust him, when we don't trust in his goodness. It's the same. The suspicion of all evil is that God is not good. The suspicion and the root of all evil is the suspicion that God is not good. I had a Mormonism. So a slight change, but still same in my books. Yeah. Maybe not my wife's. Okay. But the thing is, the enemy wants us to be suspicious that God is not good. And I want to encourage you today that he's bigger, he is wonderful. I was up on Urambie Hill yesterday looking over the Ringabellas and watching the storm come in. I thought, wow, I still so limit you, God, in your grandeur. This is your playground waiting to be explored, and you have so much more for each of us, each of your children. You know, he has so much for you. Immeasurable love. We can access that through the Holy Spirit as well. He doesn't leave us as orphans, as Jesus says in John 17. He comes to us when we sing, when he wants to meet with you. So, darling, I feel I miss some gaps there that we'd like to do. So, he is our hope, humble King, creator of everything. You are our hope, you are our fortress, you are our deliverer, you are a jealous lover. He is jealous for your heart. He is jealous for your heart. He is jealous, he's a jealous lover. He does not want any other lovers in your heart. It's interesting that the beautiful perfume Mary poured out just before Jesus to depart, the walk into Jerusalem on the donkey. She was scolded for being so generous. And what's the offering that our heart's going to give him again this Easter? Okay. So anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the privilege of being able to call you our Father because of what your Son has done. Jesus, how I long for you to take the center of our hearts. Help us not to kick and scream like sometimes, too often, I'm not sure the ratio, I do when I have you ask me to persevere through a hardship. Help us to have a good attitude when we're persevering through a hardship. But I ask, God, that you fill anyone here today who is downcast, who is carrying a heavy yoke of performance, having to be good, or having to, I'm not sure, just try and make it. When you want to fill our hearts with joy, you want to fill our hearts with hope. We fix our eyes on you today, Jesus, again. Thank you that you are our greatest encourager. Thank you you do not leave us as orphans. Thank you knowing what it's like to suffer, but you also know the joy of relationship. The joy of relationship. The joy of you filling our hearts, because relationship is everything to you. You wanted a family. We thank you that we can be your family. We are your family, Daddy God. We want to be obedient children. And we say yes to you today. Would you search our hearts and see if there's anything in it that's not clean or not for you? Thank you that you'll be a wonderful thing we could ever expect to create a God, you're the most dynamic, creative being in the universe. Forgive us when we limit you and what you can do and where you can go. We give you our palms, we give you our hearts again today. Thank you, and we encourage you.
Thanks for listening. For more of our teaching, visit redhill.org.au.